oldies that drop in here and stay for a meal, just because they've dropped in, as spontaneous type of drop-in type of entertaining. It's what I seem to do more than any other kind. And I'm amazed how when I say, Lord, now what? And I really ask him to put on something a little other than just the basic minimum, what I call our Tuesday lunch loaves and fishes picnic, when I really try to do something a little bit different, how he gives ideas, and no one more than myself, that he just puts together some little ideas I never thought of, you know, that just come when you ask him. And I really think if he can do that with me, who never saw a kitchen practically until I was married, I was so embarrassed about having to cook for my husband, I took a course for a whole year at the Central Technical School in Toronto. I didn't know how to boil an egg. As a student nurse in hospital, and I ended up teaching nursing, but I remember trying to get a diet. I didn't know how to do it. I mean, I was supposed to make that kind of poached egg on toast. And I didn't know how to do a poached egg on toast. That's because we had servants. I had three servants to our family of five in China, so I didn't know anything about domestic life. I didn't even know about how to polish shoes. The servants did it all. And so I asked what to do, and I said, do you do this, and do you do that, do you do the other? And this other student nurse, or whoever I asked, kept saying yes, yes, and I was sure it didn't sound up. And put the water in the pan, and put the pan on the stove, and dumped the bread in the pan, and then the egg on top of that. Well, that's unbelievable. So it is a marvel what the Lord can teach you to do in a hurry. So we're looking for quality, and we're looking for variety, and we're looking for the best price. In other words, we're really putting some thought and interest in it. And let's try and dress up our table with a little bit of something extra, just a touch to say, I love you and you're important in my life. The fifth point, verse 15, are you all ready for verse 15? She riseth also while it is yet night. She's an early riser, ladies. She's an early riser. It's not so hard to feel that we're an early riser these days. It is dark when we get up, but maybe by the clock it isn't that early, is it? First and primary concern is what her God-given task is. It's not herself. It's not just to have her own little nap, her extra sleep. Just a little, as it says in Proverbs. Do you remember? A little folding of the hand, a little. But that little adds up. And it's not even getting out to do the other things that she might like to do, or even the other people in her life. Her first and primary concern is her own household. She gets up to feed her own family. She gets up to set her own house in order. And I understand that that's a task to her servants. But it could be also, I suppose, a portion of their food allowance. But regardless, she was putting her own house duties first before she ever gave the rest of the day to others. And I think that that's just a good point for us to remember. Point six is verse 16. And I think this also is something important for dear Christian women who are really wanting to do God's best. We get very eager and very zealous. But this woman is a careful planner. That's how I would head it. She's a careful planner. She doesn't just keep looking over green fields at other places and go involving herself quickly and rashly, thoughtlessly into other activities, into other buys and purchases. She considers a field. She's weighing the cost. She's saying, can I afford it? saying, can I afford it with my time? Can I afford it with my energy? Can I afford it in perspective of all the other demands in my life? Can I afford it financially? And she considers it, and then after careful planning, not impulsive moving, she decides she can, and she buys it. And I like this point. It's an increased time factor demand on her, but she uses her own resources. She does not strain her husband's to do it. She buys it with the fruit of her hands, with that which she has herself made. The money she has herself, that's referring to the money she makes, she buys it. And who does the work? She plants it. So that when we get, as women, and now I speak to wives, involved in more interests, in more fields of ministry, in perhaps more fields of involving financial investments and so on, we should seek to beware that we are not adding to the strain of the provider of the family, who is our husband. Are we not going to overload him? That's the question. Not to overload him by extra demands. To feel I want more and I need more, and it would be good for me to go out and do more, but time-wise, are we hurting him by going out? Time-wise, are we causing an extra strain on his responsibility and on his shoulders? Or are we adding to his work that which wouldn't be necessary if we weren't getting ourselves more involved? That's just a question. So that we save his earnings and soon as we expend more of our own. And then the seventh point, I'm calling physical therapy. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. And that's the plain exercise of good, hard work. And I'm an advocate for that. I just find that I can't even spend hours and hours reading the Bible. Much as I love to read the Bible, and I have it out to read almost all day long, in between, but I just find that even taking in spiritual food or giving out spiritual food in ministry, I absolutely have to have a balance of physical therapy. And my physical therapy is running up and down the steps and cleaning the house or baking or doing things that are around the home. Some can go to the Y and do some nice exercises and learn to do some fancy dancing steps and so on. That would be fun. But I do think of the value of our housework, indoors and outdoors, is good physical therapy. And we know that I notice, even in the summertime, when I get out and really do things in the garden, really work, I'm feeling so much better than by the end of the winter when I really done a lot more sitting than usual. Don't you feel the same way? It's just great. I think, and the Lord wants us to increase our muscles. Well, muscle does increase that way. The children of Israel, remember, when they had been in Egypt working like slaves, and don't we sometimes feel we're just working like a slave to this house? But it says that when they were brought out, that they had none of these diseases that the people around them had, and there was not a sick one among them. How is it put? But there was not a weak one among them. The point being, do you remember?
Not lame or feeble.
Yes, not lame or feeble. The fact is that they had been slaves, and they had got their reward by their good physical health. So next time we feel as if we're just being a slave with this vacuum up and down, there's no fun in that. Remember, we're getting our physical therapy. And then the eighth point is verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. I'd say that she has high standards for what she does. And her candle going not out by night could have two interpretations. One, her product is guaranteed, and a candle making would be part of this kind of societies, this culture. Part of what they would do in a household would be to make candles. So it could be that her product is guaranteed. Her candle doesn't go out. It could also be a symbolic bit of truth here, saying that she works day and night, that she doesn't just watch the clock demanding her time off, you know, that she is a hard worker and she's not limited to a schedule of daytime. She works into the night, early in the morning, even while it's night, late into the evening while it is night. The ninth point, I'm putting part of verse 22 with verse 19. And I would say here she is a home decorator. She spins and she sews and she weaves. And she makes even coverings of tapestry. And note, she does it with her own hands, even though she has servants, no doubt. But she's able to do these things herself. And that's an area that I so lack in that I'm moving on quickly to the next one. I'm just so very grateful that the New Testament tells us that we have others to help us in the body of Christ. Verse point 10 is well-groomed. She's well-groomed. And as I read this morning, I got dressed in one outfit, and I kind of felt more and more uncomfortable. I thought, you better get something else on. So I went upstairs and got something else on. And as I came down with that, I thought, I can hardly talk about being well-groomed and being royalty. I'm going to get dressed up. So that's the point to give you this morning. Her clothing, obviously, wasn't rags. She really did have lovely clothes. In fact, silk and purple in verse 22 is expensive, and purple was the color for royalty. So I would just notice 5 points in clothing. The first in verse 22, she clothes herself. Her style and her taste is royal, and it's purple. Remember, in the New Testament, Lydia was a seller of purple too. She perhaps would represent and be a demonstration of this kind of a woman. The second, in verse 21, she clothes her family. Sometimes we can, I think some mothers are very well groomed, but, you know, perhaps take less interest in the children. But here she takes a great deal of care for her whole family. And scarlet, the word scarlet, denotes a high cost. A type of clothing. She makes her choice well. It also, apparently, in the original language, scarlet can mean, in a different, putting together the consonants differently, can mean double. And the thought being this could mean that she clothes her family with a double thickness clothing. That's why they're warm for snow. You could say it's aligned clothing, and that does take a seamstress. I was so impressed in the home that I was at this last week at for a party to notice what lovely work the lady did. And she was wearing a gown herself that really was elegant, that she said she had made for $6. And I came away and I wrote my home letter and said, oh, how I wish I was a seamstress. Then I said, dash, but I really don't have the ambition and interest to experiment. So you see, but if we can have that time and that interest, there's probably a lot more of us that could do some of these things than we have found. So this is a challenge. And then the third person for clothing in verse 20, she does only clothes herself and her family, but she has extra to spare. She stretches out her hand to the poor, and she reaches forth her hand to the needy. And she's giving out what does not cost her nothing. She's giving to the poor not just what her husband makes, but what she makes. And it's nice, I think, for us as women who are constantly in the position of giving out what our husband makes, to find ways in order to have our little personal contribution of giving out to the poor or to the Lord by ways in which we can make or bake or whatever. And then the fourth point in verse 24, under this this well-grooming, she makes fine linen, sells it, and delivers girdles unto the merchant. She not only clothes herself, her family, and the poor, then she has extra for her business. And that is to market it. That's her home business. And then, in verse 25, we see that she's not only concerned with her material clothing, but her spiritual. Strength and honor are her clothing. And that's, she shall rejoice in time to come, for the future, even in her old age. She has the confidence, her strength, her confidence that she has gained from a good life of hard work. She has that kind of confidence. And then her dignity, her honor. She will not have to plead poverty. She has had enough and to spare. She has given, and it shall be given to her. The last two points of the qualities of this woman, in verse 26, she's a kind disciplinarian. The law of kindness in her mouth. So she has a balance between giving out truth and giving it in a gracious way with mercy. I just covet that particular trait. I think that that's a very beautiful picture, very attractive facet of this woman. And then 27, she's a maintenance manager. She looks well to the ways of her household. She keeps things going well. What is the result of this woman? Now, there are a lot of things said, not said in that group that would still be part of a godly woman. But what are the results of just these things? 1, 2, and 3. First, her husband in verse 23. The house is so well established that he is free, free in his spirit, free in his mind, that he can go out and be a civic leader. And we know that in the New Testament, we are told by the apostles and epistles there that deacons and elders and so on, one of the marks of their qualification should be a house that is being well run and children that are in order. So First, the husband, a well-established home. Secondly, the family, in verse 28 and 29. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. It's just as if the husband is saying in verse 29, many, many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. In other words, something like this. You're not the only pebble on the beach, but you're the most polished one. Something like that. And I just want to say this about the children rising up and calling her blessed. It's a privilege and a wonderful thing. But for the encouragement, and I feel the Lord has said this to me several times in this last week through conversations and things, even what I've had an experience with a visitor who came into the house, and that's this, that even though we want to take this to the Lord, we want to say, Lord, I want to live up in this light. I really want to be this woman. I want you to put these qualities in me. I want you to polish the stone that I am to make me a real rare gem above the price of rubies and so on. And then to have the blessing, to have the children rise up to in turn bless you. That's a very, very high goal and for something that we have a desire for. Yet, I want to say this, not any of us, and I say it for the encouragement of those who have children, who are not with the Lord. Not any of us can take any credit for our children going right. The Lord does not want us to be loaded down with either the weight of guilt or the weight of glory. That we have only grace to claim when our children go well. I have been so impressed by that. Would you just quickly look up Titus 3, 4 to 7. It is so easy to somehow feel if we make the right decisions and if we do the right things, automatically our children then will be right. And without realizing it, we judge others and we bless ourselves. You know, it's so easy to do that. And the Lord has just made me realize emphatically, my salvation came by grace alone. I'm a Christian today because of what Jesus Christ did and gave to me. Not because of what my parents did only. I have them to bless. Titus 3, 4 to 7. But after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. That's the part I want to just underline. That it's not by the works of righteousness, even of this virtuous woman, if we completely filled out these qualifications, it's not that that's going to save our children. It's only by God's mercy that saves our children. We got our salvation for free, and they will too. And just to give God all the honor and all the glory, and to really thank him and to just call upon his mercy for our children. I haven't the time to go into that, but that's been very much in my heart. Now, the last point of the blessing, what happens here? Not only her husband, not only her family, but even the community, verse 31, will bless her. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. In other words, though she's at home, she will be recognized in the wider community. And one could say, oh, but if only we could get out into the community, she'll be known, even though her main work is at home. This particular passage highly exalts the place of a home. And I notice, too, that what does honor her? There's a little point in that verse 31. It's her hands. It's the work of her hands that honor her. Not her mouth, but her hands. And in Proverbs 27, 2, it says, let another praise thee, and not thine own mouth, but it's her hands. So it's what we do. And last point is the crown. In Proverbs 12:4, it says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. He is the head, and she is the crown. And the head of this woman is her Lord. And it says here, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. To be pretty and to be popular are just empty assets. But to trust the Lord is to be honored like a queen. We praise the Lord, and in some small way, his praise and glory is reflected on us. Let's just close in prayer. Loving Father, we just thank you for your mighty, powerful, wonderful word, and for this whole book. And we haven't begun to know it, Lord. We've only thought in small measure upon it. We have so much more to dig out of it. Now we just ask, Lord Jesus, that you will give to us that perseverance and that appetite and desire, that we will go back in our own private lives and we will read and be taught of the Lord what are the truths in this book. And that you will not only teach them, O Lord, but you will imprint them permanently in our lives. That we in turn, O Lord Jesus, may be indeed the daughters of the King, like queens in the places where you put us. And that we may give to you the glory and the honor of those, O Lord, who are reflecting your glory and your honor in our lives. We ask for these things in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
We are not those that talk without toil. Yes, Denise.
I was going to say that yesterday morning when I got up, I was just...
Can you come right here?
Yesterday morning when I woke up, I was very tired because I haven't been feeling well. And I have to do the wash on a Monday because of coming here. And I just have a Hoover spin dryer, so it takes me a good hour to an hour and a half to do all the wash. Well, I just couldn't get going, so I thought, well, I have to. I went out and started the wash, and I took out my little song book, and I set it on the counter and started going through the whole book of songs I knew.